Hey everyone, welcome to the LFC Couch. My name is Nish, your host, and it's a solo pod for me today because it is the middle of the day here in Australia. I'm driving again, as you can probably hear in the background. If you hear the indicator going off, it's because I'm trying to drive. But the main point is the news has just been released that Manchester City will be banned from the Champions League for the next 2 years unless they're able to file something with the CAS and they're able to get that overturned, with most likely suitcases of wads of cash passed underneath coffee tables in seedy different places of Ukraine or somewhere along those lines. So here we are. It is, I guess if you guys don't understand the enormity of this decision, it's going to have rippling effects across multiple sporting areas. For instance, if UEFA can see this with their single competition that they completely and utterly manage, which is obviously the UEFA Champions League, then the FA and the Premier League will obviously have to take proper notice, and they will probably be seen in a very poor light if they do not make some kind of statement and or suspension and or docking of points themselves. So lots of questions coming up here in my mind straight away. Retrospective action? I don't know. I don't think you can. I mean, there's no retrospective action needed in the Champions League because they haven't won shit. So that's good. You can't exactly take a title away that they've had no choice and no chance of winning. Closest they got was pre-Pep Guardiola, when they got to, I think, Manuel Pellegrini. They got him to semi-finals, in which they lost against Real Madrid, I think it was. And then Pep came in and they've only got quarterfinals and stuff since then. So yeah, they've really not gone too close. But, you know, then you have to think about the teams that they did beat on the way to those semi-finals and finals. Maybe they feel a little bit aggrieved that they're up against a team that seriously breached financial fair play regulations and therefore couldn't get in there. So to quickly explain, I've read a few of the articles, a few of the things that have been released to state what has actually happened. What they found out is that they have vastly overstated their income based on the sponsorship money that has come into the club. And we've all seemed to know this. It seems like it's the most known secret in the entire world of football at the moment, that they have dodgy money filtering through dodgy relationships, through dodgy blood and oil money that's gone through Sheikh Mansour. And I don't know why it's taken this long for it to become official, but they got hit already many years ago for that crappy £50 million, and they're only allowed to spend £50 million for financial fair play. They had their squad reduced in the Champions League from 25 to 21, and that was all that actually got hit on Man City. Lo and behold, nothing really happened. They just carried on their merry way from that point on. And if you're wondering why the rest of the league and people are aggrieved at this practice, you just got to think about who have they sold. I think their first major sell that was planned to happen was Leroy Sané, going off to Bayern Munich, which never ended up happening because obviously he busted his ACL. That was going to be their first major sell as a club since they got taken over. So every other club is forced to balance their books, forced to sell the Philippe Coutinhos in order to fund major, major signings. We sold one Philippe Coutinho for 140 million and picked up two players that people at the time were saying were grossly overpaid. We did pay a huge amount of money for Virgil van Dijk, and a massive world record at that time, again, because obviously Virgil van Dijk still was at that time the record before Harry Maguire took that mantle. And then a world record fee at the time for Alisson to bring him over before Kepa became the world record fee after that. So that's two players that we've been able to buy at large sums of money. And obviously Man City come back with, oh, but look, we didn't break any world records for players. Except they were able to buy 4, 5, 6 players, put them on major wages, stick them on a 40, 50, 60 million pound purchase. So you're correct. They are not world record signings, but they are like 5 fullbacks, which they seem to still run out of. They're still center backs, and Otamendi, Laporte, all these people to have incredible depth in their team. And then they have the forwards. They have Gabriel Jesus, they have Aguero, they have Kevin De Bruyne, they've got Sterling, they've got Sané, they've got Mahrez and Rodri in the midfield, and oh my god, the list just goes on and on and on. They're all world-class players. You can look at the second 11 of Man City, and that team would do extremely well in the Premier League as well. They would probably come at least fourth as a bare minimum. And that's what the rest of Premier League's aggrieved about, because a lot of teams have to, and that's 100% have to sell in order to generate. And we have always been there looking at things like their crowd numbers, because it's known as the empty head. It is well known that if it's a midweek game, people just won't turn up. Yet every single filing that goes through shows no sold out stadium week in, week out. Probably extremely high price paid for hospitality tickets, which may have been gifted by Sheikh Mansour and their group. And so it's all come about now that they've actually gone, they've looked in it through those leaked emails that went through, I can't remember the name, Der Spiegel, I think it was, that leaked it originally in Germany. That showed that, yeah, they have been fudging their numbers, that these sponsorship dollars coming through have not actually been 100% legitimate. And therefore, you look at the expenditure of the wages, the players, and then you have to balance that out with the earnings and the revenue generated through sponsorship, through crowd attendance, through TV money, through shirt sponsorship, etc. as well. And that has to balance out. And when a club with such little history and such little backing, and we all know they came to Australia, they couldn't get close to the MCG. It was like City versus Tottenham, or City versus not Real Madrid, but it was one of those games. And I remember seeing photos of the MCG, and that's the Melbourne Cricket Ground, if you didn't realize. And they had something like 30 or 40,000 people attending a Man City game. We had Liverpool Football Club against Melbourne Victory in 2013 when we finished eighth in that season, and we got 95,000 people there. That's real backing, real support. That shows straight away that no matter where Liverpool plays, they will attract the numbers. Man City can't even attract numbers to their own fucking stadium on a midweek game in the Champions League or an FA Cup game, which they seem to pride themselves on, and all that kind of jazz. It is frustrating as hell, and for once and finally, I will applaud the people who have taken this seriously and laid down a big fat ban hammer on them, which I hope they will hold steady to, and do not take those bribes, and do not just lay down easily and roll over for a club that is clearly trying to ruin football by buying it all. That is a big rant, but I am so, so excited, and I absolutely hope this stays the way it is, and football doesn't get back to normal. I don't think it ever will get back to normal. But those people trying to buy their way to fame, the PSGs of the world, who were great once back in the 90s. I do remember Paris Saint-Germain being very, very good. But lately, they've just shat everywhere. If you all remember the Neymar deal with Barcelona, but they didn't actually pay. PSG did not actually pay for Neymar, as far as my recollection's correct. It's probably not. I don't know the dealings all so well. But what I do remember hearing at the time was that the Qatari sponsorship of PSG gave the money to Neymar to buy himself out of his own contract of 200 million euro. What kind of mental thing is that? When an entire country is backing a player moving from Barcelona to PSG. That is just ludicrous, and they should have been completely wiped out by UEFA at that time. So what the hell's happening? Like, if Man City are able to do it so flagrantly, whatever the word is, in everyone's face, and taking 10 to 13 years before proper action is done against them through clearly some kind of dodgy legal loopholes and or money under the table, how long is it going to take for PSG to get hit with the same hammer? I've got questions over Barcelona as well in the way they practice. For years, they pride themselves on having zero sponsorship. And then suddenly the Guitar Foundation becomes their sponsor on their shirt. And they go, look, it's not real sponsorship. We are looking after a non-profit here. We're trying to do good via the Guitar Foundation. Doesn't sound dodgy. And then suddenly it becomes Qatar Airways, weird, same as Man City. And they start funding the likes of Luis Suarez, Neymar, Messi coming together with a huge amount of people behind them, selling shirts left, right, and center, making a huge amount of money. Oh God, this rant is fun. You probably haven't heard this from me in a while, but this is great news. I woke up with such a smile on my bloody face. So here's my rant while I'm driving, because I just can't help myself. And so, yeah, Man City, here we are, back to it. What happens now? Well, let's look forward, let's zoom forward in our little time machine of Back to the Future style. We're going forward in time. So what happens to Man City? They've got a team full of stars. I rattled off some names before. We all know, as Liverpool fans, what it does to attracting interest to a club when A, you lose the Premier League by 20 plus points. It doesn't matter that they came second, they're still 20 plus points off first place and are not in the Champions League. So the players that are there, and in our case, we lost some people like Phil Coutinho who wanted to leave. We lost Luis Suarez. We lost Emre Can, if you want to put that down. These players do not want to play in a team that is not going to win them titles and is not going to play in the Champions League. So those players will leave. 2 years in a footballer's life is a huge amount of time. You sit there as a football watcher and you go, 2 years, that's fine. It's okay. Look, we've been following our club. I've been following Liverpool for 37 years. When it comes to me watching the Champions League again and when I'm 39 years old, not a problem. But when you're a footballer where your prime years are like 3 or 4 years and your real football professional lifestyle, if you're really lucky, is from about 18 to 33, 34 years old. 2 years out of playing Champions League is a hell of a long time. So what are these players gonna do? Well, likely Man City may be forced to sell them to actually start balancing the books, because they know if they keep this current practice, they are gonna absolutely crumble as a club, which is, from what I can see, the real trajectory it's gonna go on now. So that's number one. They could lose. They're going to be out of the Champions League. Players will want to leave simply for that. Next 2 years are going to be very tough. Aguero's definitely going to leave. Kevin De Bruyne has already shown a little bit of disgruntled moments coming up recently, so maybe he will definitely try and force a transfer move out. And they will go for big money, but they're clubs with big money right now, legal or not. I mean, we haven't spent buggery all in how many transfer seasons now, so you know, we could pick up those players. If he says, I'm only going to go to Liverpool, and they say, okay, give us 60, 70, 80 million, we'd probably do it. For Kevin De Bruyne, which team won't get better with Kevin De Bruyne in there? Anyway, and then there's the Premier League. So what are they going to do? If they go, you're in serious breach, you are going to be deducted 10, 15, 20 points from this season. Very similar to the Juventus scandal, in my opinion. What if they drop down, if they get a full-blown hit, 30, 40 points? What if they end up 8th, 9th, 10th? You know, anything could happen from this point on, and it's a beautiful bloody thing. I can't think of anything better. I have no sympathy for Man City fans. I have no sympathy for Man City, the club, the administrators, the people who have known full well that they have fabricated their entire history in the space of a decade. And they should be slammed down way back and put back in time by 30 years because of this. And I hope the owners go, well, this was a fun ride. Time to pack up and piss off and do something else, because they have been found out. There are moments where countries like Qatar and the oil money and the Saudis and these people who are just trying to buy their way through to political power and freedom around the world, well, not freedom, but freedom of doing whatever the hell they want around the world because they have the cash at this point in time. There has to be a moment where they get put in their place. And I hope when it comes to the sporting realm and the sport that we love, this is the moment where the Qataris really get shoved out and they get told by our governing bodies, this is not on, you can't do this, because you will actually ruin the smaller clubs and the people who are striving to get up there. And I'm not saying this as a Liverpool fan only. I am saying this as a football fan. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the Bournemouths and the people like that with a tiny stadium in the south coast of England who are doing incredible things, but they will always stay at that level because without the ability to invest in massive players or ability to invest with what they should be able to spend, i.e. 20, 30, 40 million for an incredible player, then they will never be able to get up there and they will always struggle every single season. The thing that makes the Premier League so great is the fact that they can be competitive, that these smaller teams can beat the top teams. I mean, I'm actually worried about the Norwich game. It's a 4:30 a.m. game, so that worries me anyway. But the fact that they're 20th and we're first is definitely no guarantee. They've got some great players in Timo Pukki and these guys, but that's a whole different story. But the thing that makes the Premier League special is that these teams do have the ability to beat the very top teams, and they certainly do have the ability to beat Liverpool. I'm not going to put any... it's great that we're facing the bottom team, but we're crap when we have a break, and they will be all up for beating us. Now, if they had the ability to invest in bigger players and attract the bigger players through legitimate sourcing of revenue, then they would be even stronger and the league will be even tighter. And that's really what everyone wants, except for Liverpool, because we're going to win the league and we're fucking happy. So moving on, back to Man City. I'm just going to go and just go, I hope and I pray they are going to be putting this through. They say they are not surprised by the findings. They say that the people who went and spoke to them originally back in December 2018 or 2019 when they started doing this case against them, they said that they originally were told this is going to be the likely subject if this comes out, or the likely damage against them that's going to come out if they're found to be guilty. So they were told quite early on, hey, look, you're likely going to be banned for at least a couple of years, and they've been fined £30 million, but who cares about the £30 million? They sneeze and £30 million comes out their ass, so they don't care about the money. It is the banning, which could, some people have said, cost them up to £200 million by being out of the Champions League for two seasons in a row. It could be a hell of a lot more when it comes to viewing rights, to selling out stadiums. Not that they can do that themselves, but you get what I mean. Revenue, sponsors will obviously be unhappy. Not that they seem to care because they're all paid off anyway. It's all very weird. So they are not surprised, which is a funny line to say. It's a funny quote to put out there. Yeah, we're upset, but not surprised. It kind of admits a bit of guilt there, so interesting. And that's where they're at. So all I can hope that it stays in place, that they get the full brute force of our laws and the legal system, and the lawyers do not have their way and they just suffer their way through it. I don't hold any hope in that happening because we know how corrupt our sport really is when it comes to that level. But right now it's a beautiful thing and I hope it sends shockwaves through. Let's see what the Premier League does, if anything, if the FA really wants to take a stance. Let's see if any retrospective action does happen. I mean, imagine how crap you would actually feel as a Liverpool fan. I would actually feel crap if last season gets counted as a win against Liverpool. I'll probably still cheer. I'll probably go, okay, we won two Premier League titles this season. So we won this season and last season in the same season. Yeah. So we've suddenly jumped from 18 to 20 Premier League or 20 league titles. And just like that, I'm being careful and saying Premier League instead of the trolls come at me. Don't care about you people. But imagine that we've suddenly gone from 18 to 20. We're thinking of 19. Let's think of 20, boys and girls. How good would that be? And let's see if that happens. I doubt it would, but you know, I think the most likely action will be a reduction in points, potentially even a reduction of points next season. So they start on negative 10 or something like that. Imagine that. Imagine how pissed off you'd feel as a player, as a club, if you start off a season as a negative points. Best case scenario, they get relegated, they get shoved down to negative or 0 points for the season or something like that, and they have to try and they're on like a 15 point deficit behind Norwich or whatever points they're on. Woo! Wouldn't that feel good? So let's see what happens. Lots of happy dreams, lots of happy smiles everywhere. I'm sure Reds are smiling. I don't think the season could have gone any better. It's just so good. Anyway, stay tuned. Let's see what happens. Have a very good day or night. I'll break the news as it comes. I love you all. See you later. Goodbye.